You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
To Quiver the Green Arrow podcast for the seventh episode of season seven, The Slabside Redemption.
It's hard to just say it.
Directed by James Bamford and written by Jill Blankenship and Rebecca Bellotto. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
We are of two minds on this episode.
Definitely a James Bamford episode, that's for sure.
Definitely a James Bamford episode.
I don't think we're of two minds. It's just that of my taste, I don't feel like watching 45 minutes of violence.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, this show, I always give it, it is the most violent of all the shows I watch, just generally speaking, because this isn't the kind of stuff that I watch. I like action and I like superhero stuff, but this one is particularly a violent show in general. Yeah. Like, Arrow, they kill a lot of people. This episode in particular is so gory. And not really, but just, like, there's just so much...
So there are a couple of really excessive parts in this episode, and I'll point them out when we get to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a couple of things in this that I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah.
And I honestly think it has a lot to do with James Bamford directing. Yeah. I think that he's come a long way in the last few years. If you go back and you watch the first episode that he directed... there were some really cool stunts.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that I can say about it.
Yeah.
This episode is full of a lot of really great action, but it does show that he is not much of a storyteller visually, other than pacing and framing. But like, it just, and this is coming from somebody who went to film school, a lot of his choices are very similar to film student choices when it comes to like what he wants to focus on with the camera and the way that he tries to tell the story. And the biggest part of that is that he tends to beat us over the head with things instead of trusting that the audience is with you. Right. And that's an experience thing, but it is also like, it's just, I think when you're coming from the stunt side of things into directing,
right?
I think your focus is in different places, and so that part of storytelling just kind of suffers a little bit. But that's it. I mean, like, there are actually a lot of really great moments in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very good at the action stuff, obviously, but also there's some suspenseful stuff. And there is some cinematic storytelling with the Stanley stuff that I think works really well.
It does. You're right.
There's some really, really great lighting and stuff like that that really adds to the drama. More than that, this episode, the turn for Bronze Tiger.
That's good. Phenomenal. Too. Yeah.
It's so good because they take you from seeing this guy as an adversary to rooting for him in this episode and wanting him to, by the end of the episode, not only are you rooting for him, like you
remember that he's like
the Slabside Redemption has nothing to do with Oliver. I don't think
it doesn't. No, not at all.
The character that's redeemed in this episode is absolutely Bronze Tiger.
And the one that you sort of see down a path is Stanley. Like, this episode is about those two and how Ollie facilitates their differing trajectories.
Flip, yeah.
Like, he sort of splits them. And yeah. I loved, it's a thing, a good part that sticks out to me is when Ollie's like, how'd you get out of your cell? And he's like, how'd you get out of yours? And I was like, oh, don't trust him. And I was like, no, that's perfect. You should. Good job, Oliver. You just trust him. And because he's a of course he didn't get out of his cell. He's Bronze Tiger. So I just loved that. That was something that I didn't see where I was like, maybe you're being too trusting.
The thing that I loved about that is that, and again, this is the writing, right? Yeah. Like, however it was executed on screen, fine, whatever. The performances were good. And like, Michael Jai White sells that moment, which he has to be able to sell that moment. But what it does on the paper is it's a moment to tell you, like, to remind you, these guys are equals.
Right. Yeah. They're pretty, yeah.
Like, every time that Ollie's had to fight Bronze Tiger, it's been, like, Bronze Tiger has generally escaped from him. Like it's taken teams to take down Bronze Tiger. He was a persistent threat in season one, right? And Ollie wasn't able to take him down by himself.
Right.
It wasn't until he started working together with the others that, like, and he didn't get taken down until later in the season.
Right.
So it's a good reminder of, like, this is a guy that, like, he's the hero of his own story.
Right.
And we're just kind of, like, intermittently coming into his story when he shows up in these other characters' things. But it's kind of that comic book thing of, like, Bronze Tiger has his own book.
Right.
And we're just not reading it, but it's a crossover, like, there's something this week.
Yeah, yeah. Which is good.
Which is good comic book storytelling to just sort of establish that. Yeah. But I thought, like, there are a few moments in this episode that are really great writing like that.
Yeah. The scene, now that... I mean, see, this is why we always have to talk about it. Because if we didn't talk about it, it would be such a forgettable show for me. But there's things where I'm like, the moment, the scene with Stanley in the supply closet or whatever it is, is quite good and quite striking and quite, I like it. I don't know, that actor, there's a payoff for, like, there's a reason why that actor has been around this whole time.
And,
like,
he's going to be around.
And why he's that actor and why he's going to be around. Like, it's good. I'm excited. Because we sort of were talking about that when he first came in. We're like, who's this guy? Is he going to be a... But anyways,
I'm going to read an email here. This is from Angel. And they write, really? Hello, Amanda and Mike. I am very interested in your thoughts for the most recent episode. Am I alone in hating it? Did any of it really make sense to you guys?
Nice.
Do you think that's the end of Diaz? I couldn't tell if he's supposed to be dead or not. He's not dead. He's a series regular. He's
but you're there. Right. I couldn't tell.
It is very unclear. This is what I'm talking about in terms of James Bamford's
storytelling.
It bugs me that nothing really came of him being stronger now. And the Longbow Hunters just left?
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't know what to do with Diaz and just thought, oh, if we put a cool fight scene with fire in here, no one will realize that none of this makes sense. Seriously, though, that fire... It was just pouring out of the walls for no reason.
Why didn't it?
Poorly staged.
Why didn't
really
it
bad
do
effects.
Anything? And also, like,
it was
artificially
raising the stakes. That's
ridiculous.
All it does.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just wanted to hear your thoughts because I was definitely disappointed. Mm-hmm. Thanks for always making a good podcast. That's from Angel. So thank you, Angel, for the email.
Yeah.
I mean, like. I wanted to read that one because, like, we have other emails from this week that are email from DeAndrea and an email from Sarah, of course.
Thank you, Sarah.
From Sarah Beth, and as well as an email from Evan. But everybody else was pretty like up on this episode, and I just thought that like this one gives a good perspective of, like. Yes, there's a lot to love in this episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also a lot of things that are just, like, gigantic neon Jim Carrey Riddler-sized question marks.
Yeah.
I'm just like, huh?
Yeah.
What?
It's not... It was a
stuff
thing
stuff that,
like,
really, like, breaks the reality of the episode for me.
There are a few things that I appreciate about this episode in that... This is really weird. Can we get into it and then I can talk about it?
I'm going to hit play now.
Because I feel like there's not... Yeah. But,
some arrows.
Flying at the screen. But the thing that I realized by the second commercial is that this episode is just Oliver and the Slab Side. Like, that's refreshing. We don't always get episodes that are one story and it's the course of the whole 45 minutes and you really get to... So... It's been a thing where Ollie's taken sort of a back burner this season in terms of, like, there's so many stories happening and there's always something that's at the prison, but it's not really about the prison, right?
Yeah.
It was really nice. That's one thing I did appreciate about this episode in the, like, sort of the artistry of it. Like, I get that that's a unique, cool thing that the show did. So there are a lot of things to praise about this episode, but the things that are sort of its praise are also the things that kind of get me a little rankled, is because I don't come here for a prison drama. Like, that's not what I'm here for, and that's what this episode is, which is fine, because I know now it's not going to be a prison drama anymore. And that Ollie makes a change in this episode, and that but I don't understand how you come out of this and he just gets to leave the prison. Like, there were so many things that I was like, okay, first of all, you would change back into your other clothes before you leave the prison.
Yeah.
And after a big fire like that, like, there'd be different security protocol. Those other guards wouldn't still be there. They would have immediately gone to the hospital. Like, there's so many things for me where I'm like, how is this a, I don't know. It's all good. I like this this actor that plays this guard, this new guard that we have, or I guess he was in the previous ones too. But gosh, I really hope
is he the guard from the beginning of the season? Because I feel like maybe he was, because he's familiar. I think he's the one from the beginning of the season that he faked the stabbing. Isn't that the same guy?
I don't know. He could be, but I don't.
I'm gonna double check that.
Okay, how are they driving onto this prison that's, they've just clearly established, is surrounded by water? Like, I actually am now, I'm just realizing, I'm like, they didn't talk to the, like, planning of this. No! You would never come in with a truck onto a, I mean, I don't know. How do they get people into?
Was it completely surrounded by water, or is it a peninsula?
I don't know. They keep going out, they do two wide shots of this, and they show that it's sort of like an island. I guess they don't show the far left screen, so maybe that's because they realized halfway through that it wouldn't make sense for there to be a card. So,
Peter York is the name of the character from the first part of the season. I don't think it's the same actor.
No, I don't think it is. Well, I mean, it's, I don't know. It could be. But so this, anyways, this Stanley character, this is like a good, this is a, I didn't really pay attention to the scene when I was
watching. No, it is a different character. It's Felton is the guard.
Ah, so, gotcha.
But I think he's been around.
He was in a couple of earlier episodes, I think. So, but the through line that I don't get for this is, like, does Diaz get out of the prison in the end? Did he never want to get out of prison? Because he doesn't. I know that. But then what is his... And, like, if he's powerful enough to have just gotten all those guards killed and then enters the prison anyways, but then it looks like he was going to burn the prison down with himself in it. Like, I really don't understand what Diaz was going for in this episode. Yeah. Like, he wanted to kill Ollie, but then he didn't kill him. Like, I'm
in all of the times that he had an opportunity.
What was it that he was actually trying to do in this episode?
So they have a really great excuse that they wrote into the character of Diaz to explain why he doesn't ever just kill Oliver. Yeah. And it's because every time he has the opportunity, he reminds us that before he kills Oliver, he wants to make him suffer.
Right. But I just like, but then just kill him.
But because... it's like at this point, like, don't you like, did I think you made him suffer already? Yeah, like, I think you did it. It's
weird.
It is weird. So Ollie knows that he's getting out. So he's just kind of waiting at this point.
I guess.
But
so.
Things are gonna go sideways when Diaz shows up, right?
Oh, so, as they always should. Yeah.
Because why would things go according to plan? So Brick and Samson are here and taunting him a bit. Yeah.
I do like this, like, outside, like,
they're
like recreational the area. They're just sort of like, I love Vinnie Jones, and they're just sort of like sitting there. So is it implied that Samson dies because he bled out?
No, he died because he was lit on fire.
Oh, and he burst to death. Sorry, right.
This is one of those scenes that there's a leap in logic here. It's like, so because he's getting out today, now he has free run of the prison.
He can just go
to solitary and just open it up and talk to him.
Yeah.
So
that's how it works. That's how this prison drama that's not a prison. You know, some weeks there are court drama. Yeah. Some weeks there are prison drama. They don't do either very well.
So. And the thing that kills me here is, like, he shows up and he's like, I feel bad. I'm sorry. I know now that I made a mistake.
Yeah, but...
I'm going to see if I can, what I can do to get, make some kind of deal, get you out or whatever. And Turner's just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about your white guilt. there's such subtext here. I love it. He's like, whatever.
You're the worst.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. But then they ruin this scene. They ruin the scene at the beginning by not explaining how he managed to get here.
Yeah, like how do you get to solitary to just talk to the dude that's in, supposed to be not talking to anybody?
Yeah.
But then,
like, so he's opened up the little window to let the light in so we can talk to him. I love that. And before he leaves, he closes it again.
Yeah, like, just leave it open. Like, why do you have to?
Like, you could have done the dude a solid and left it open. I also love this ridiculous trope that it's his last day in prison and he's just happens to be finishing The Count of Monte Cristo.
Of course. I thought it was implied that he's revisiting the book, because if it took him this long to read it, I'll be mad.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have.
Six months.
Right? Like, yeah. He's been reading it
for a while. Ollie's never been much of a reader. Version of Ollie. So he's got a visitor. Who could this visitor possibly be?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't.
Nobody in the prison is like, hey, wait a second.
Who is this creepy dude?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just, there's a lot of unrealistic.
Nobody's asking what those gunshots were.
Yeah.
Like, how did nobody go on lockdown? What happened to the three guards that were supposed to be there for prison transfer? He was transferred on his own.
Yeah. And I'm like, and he then goes in and then I don't know. It's like, why did you go in to talk to him through visitors, but then wind up going into the prison anyways? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me, where I'm kind of like, this scene seems to stick out in a weird
way. It's very odd.
I don't know. There's a lot of...
We are fast forwarding through commercials, by the way. BTW.
I'd like people to take a poll as to how many people actually watch along with us.
You know what? Actually, that's a really good point, because I was reading through... iTunes.
I'm excited.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks. I was reading through iTunes reviews, and one thing that came up, we're back now. People were like, it's weird that they watch the show while they talk about it.
Yeah.
Is it, like, do you guys want us to continue watching the show? Would you rather that we just discuss it? I can tell you one thing. The episodes will be shorter.
Yeah, like... which I'd be happy with.
Yeah.
Like, we watch this. I really don't need to watch this episode again.
Yeah.
Mind you, I would have much less to say about it if I didn't have to, like, reference the things that are on.
We would have to take notes.
We would probably talk way less about Arrow, to be honest. Let's be honest here. If we didn't watch the episode, we would probably talk way less about
it. I don't know. I mean, like, I there's also something to be said that we might be a little bit more focused if we had notes in front of us.
You're true. You're right, actually.
But,
me and Crystal talked about the Princess Switch.
Yeah.
As like a, like,
head over to YouTube to our Thunderquack channel super over on YouTube. There.
But it actually, I was like, how are we going to do this? We're not going to watch it. We actually talked way more about it than I'm used to talking on Arrow about Arrow, because I knew that we actually had to talk about what happened on it. I couldn't just, you know, refer to this thing that's going on in the background while we talk about other things like the Princess Switch while we're watching Arrow. So,
I don't know. It's really...
I'll take feedback.
It's
we can change.
It's up to the listeners and what they want. Yeah. I mean, I know that if they want a more... I don't want to say dry, but like a more straightforward episode recap style show. Like, there are what is it? AfterBuzz or whatever. So I can't remember. But there are a bunch of shows that are just like literally called after shows.
Yeah.
And they are like recaps and like roundups and stuff like that.
But you could also just go watch.
But you could just you could just listen to those podcasts. Like.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that you have to pick one Arrow podcast that is your Arrow podcast, like, I don't care. If it's us, then that's great. I'm happy. But if we are not your cup of tea and you're looking for something that's a proper Arrow recap, go listen to one of those other podcasts. I implore you. I don't don't waste your time with us, because that's well, not what we're doing. We can also change.
How is this scene with Diaz still happening? We've been talking this whole time, right? And he's still talking to her.
Yeah.
Like, it was a thing where I was like, I get it. Like, it didn't need to be this long. Like,
where do you get that hat from?
I don't know. It's a very specific costume to have found in some guard's locker or something. Like, how would he have gotten into the prison, into the guard's change room to change, then back out of the prison into the visitor area, and then go back into the prison? Like, there's a lot of I don't know.
Ollie's reaction here is...
where he slams the glass and then starts
fighting.
Like, people would, like... someone should.
I feel like Oliver has more control than that.
He does.
But, and isn't he supposed to be, like, getting rid of his...
impulses or his...
yeah.
Also, why is the prison... like, it's a weird... this is a weird exit. I don't know. How does nobody know Diaz is here yet? He literally killed 3 people before he got in here, and he was in chains. Like, it's so... there's so much flawed logic in this episode. And they had to fill a lot with... there's just so much prison-y type things that are happening. This is an odd shot, this top down where it's like they were walking him back in, but I mean, whatever.
This is what I'm talking about. That's a film school decision. Wouldn't it be cool if like this shot was like a bird's eye view as they throw him in? That'll look cool.
Yeah, but it didn't.
But it didn't inform the story. No. It didn't make sense.
It wasn't. It didn't tell you anything provocative about his point of view at that particular moment, or I don't know. It's all very weird. I do like that this guard isn't a total jerk. Like, that you kind of, like, he has some redeeming qualities. Like, he's literally just trying to kind of do his job.
Yeah.
I
guess my biggest thing with Diaz at this point is, like, I get it. He was the threat last season, and now he's the threat this season. We have never had a bad guy go from season 1 to season 2, so we've never had this problem before. Of having to escalate the stakes with a character like this.
Yeah.
But, like, can we please stop with the fact that Diaz is this super unstoppable 50 guards isn't going to stop him?
Yeah, no.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
The guards have tasers. The guards have batons. The guards have guns.
Yeah.
They have riot gear. If they want to stop one dude, they can do it. Where'd he get this battery from?
It was inside the soap.
No, I know it was inside the soap, but where did he get it?
It's not important to the story.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of important
like,
to the story.
Whatever is happening here, I don't believe it, but I'm also really excited. Like, you're Shawshanking out of here. I guess using that as a verb is a thing that you can do.
But also, he's not Shawshanking out of here. He's making a break for it because the Shawshank thing was that he spent months digging the tunnel and then climbed out through a river of expletive.
Yeah.
That you can't imagine, right?
He did a what?
He says river of shit, but I didn't want to swear. But
oh, no, I'm sorry. I literally didn't listen to you.
That's a quote from the movie.
I know. Okay. Cool. Oh, yeah, because he crawls through the gross stuff. Yes.
Yeah.
I through remember what pipes. Happens.
So I'll allow it in this one episode because I don't want to go through and edit a bleep in there.
Okay.
And also, that's not a bad swear word.
Sure.
It's not an F-bomb.
Also, if you're watching Arrow and you can't swear, like, there's violence and swearing.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm kind of like,
if you're under the age of 13 and you're watching this show,
like,
your parents need to really assess like how they're monitoring your viewing, because I don't think that the show is appropriate for you.
I don't know what's appropriate for 13-year-olds versus
13 and up. This is fine, not for every 13-year-old. Some kids need a little bit more guidance than others, but
always a cool. There are some things where you're like, this is a James Bamford like.
Yeah, there are some things that he's very good at,
right?
But there are other things that he's not. The directors have strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. We're fast-forwarding through commercials.
If there was ever an episode that was an episode for James Bamford to direct, it's the one that's 45 minutes of punching and kicking and knives and stuff. It's so true. It's like he's the right, he's was the right, choice for this episode. It's just that there are some points in the episode where I think he could have leaned over to the next person and said, do you think this is a good idea? Instead of going like, hey guys, this is what we're doing.
Fair.
And maybe a couple of people on set could have been like, hey, maybe not. We're back in now. Because I mean, like a lot of the episode is fine. There's just a few really silly decisions.
I mean, so it starts out okay. Like it goes in lockdown, and then he comes in, and
I hate this scene.
But this scene, yeah, where he's got just waving.
I like most of this episode. I had a visceral reaction to this scene when I was watching it.
Where he's like getting all the people riled up. I like that he does the like, I can't hear you.
Oh,
like,
that's so stupid,
right? It's ridiculous. You're like, no, you wouldn't do that. Where you're like, are you tired of this? I can't hear you. Are you tired of this? Like, it's just, I don't.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm sick of Diaz monologuing.
Yeah.
In his gravelly, gruff voice, and then ending his monologue with killing someone. It's just like, yeah, we get it. He's a scary dude. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I really hope that Diaz stays in prison for a little while and that they have to figure out how to get him out.
Yeah.
And that there are some other threats to deal with Oliver on the outside before Diaz comes back. Because I just need a bit of a break.
We need a break from Diaz. I'm totally happy with that. I'd like us to focus on Stanley for a little bit. I think that'll be useful. I want this to be the bait and switch where we now don't care about Diaz for a little while.
Yeah.
He can pull some strings from jail or whatever. I just, again, I don't understand his end game here. If he's not going to be actually in jail, it's like, why did you, like he said, I'm not going to die in jail. And I was like, well, aren't you now actually in jail? Like, I don't know. There's so many.
Yeah, I don't think that Diaz knows what his endgame is. Yeah. I think that whatever he's injecting himself with.
How did he literally not see him? He literally looked in that cavern with the flashlight.
With a flashlight?
And then went back away.
Excuse me, but he's the Green Arrow, and we all know that the Green Arrow is just Batman with a goatee.
Yes, that is correct.
So he just became the darkness.
He just became
Sure.
Super poetic there. Yeah. I do like it.
I think that's what we're meant to believe.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is where the episode starts heating up for me.
Yeah.
Because this is a great fight scene.
Where they just beat that car wrap out of him.
Poor Samson. He really is third banana in this trio. And even when Turner is in the hole... He's still third banana.
Yeah.
He's still just there.
Yeah.
And he's gonna get just worked over. I love how Ollie uses Brick against Samson there and he like moves out of the way at the right time so that Brick punches Samson.
Arthur Owen is a closed caption out of it. Bones break, punches Arthur Owen. The pepper spray thing is the most unbelievable part of this episode.
It's pretty high up there.
Gets over it.
Pepper spray. The thing about pepper spray is that it takes like a couple days for it to really go away.
What was the? There's some really funny. I don't know what it. I want to say it was like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something or the New Girl or something where they accidentally set off pepper spray and like it lasted for the rest of the episode.
Yes. I think it's New Girl. She has her pepper spray and it like goes off. Yeah. I love it. I love this turn here because this is the moment when Turner comes back and we get the, like he helps him out and he's like, you know what? I'm sick of you, Brick. And Michael Jai White is a badass. Yeah. He's so awesome. Because, don't get me wrong. Stephen Amell does a lot of his stuff, and he's really good. But Michael Jai White's a martial artist, and he's a professional martial artist. That's, he got into acting via martial arts learned to be a great actor.
Awesome.
Right? Yeah. So that was him doing those moves.
Where did this closed captions go?
And he looks great. I don't know. They're like, they've been there.
They have there. They have been, but they're now gone. They went away for the best line of the thing, which was, I don't know, how'd you get... Oh, now they're just showing us
They're just doing sound effects. Interesting. Okay,
there we go. Maybe they just didn't talk for a very long period of time.
Yeah, I honestly, this duo works so well in this episode that I kind of want Ollie to get out, to get Turner out, like to do what he says. He's going to go to Argus and he's going to pull some strings. And it's like, and for them to be like, look, we're going to release Bronze Tiger on the condition that, like, Ollie, you're vouching for him.
Yeah.
You are basically his parole officer.
Oh, yeah.
The two of you have to stick together. But parole officer in the sense of, like, you guys are now, like, duly appointed by the government to go out and stop crime.
That would be amazing.
So, like, you guys are now Argus agents. Go out and stop crime. But, like, Ollie, you got to keep Turner on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
And then the show for the rest of the season is just the two of them.
And, like, yeah.
And then, like, everybody else is, like, off on their own team doing their thing. But it's, like, split where, like,
I'm okay with that.
Green Arrow and Bronze Tiger are just off, like, solving crimes and beating people up. And quipping back and forth at each other.
This beat-up guard that gets killed here, I don't think we know him from anything else in this. This is, like, a pretty decent scene. Like, he just, like, got covered in, I don't know. I appreciate it. Again, it's a little violent.
This guard is the excessive violence guard? That I didn't need.
Yeah.
Because he dies.
But
it's like, okay, he dies.
Grotesquely.
We are going to see his corpse, I think, 3 more times. And 2 of those times, we're going to, like, as we move from one shot to, like, from one location to another, we're going to slowly dip the camera down and focus on him and, like, just hold on him for a second.
Yeah, no, why would you do that?
And it was just so excessive and unnecessary. And it's like, yeah, we get it. Diaz is dangerous. He kills people.
Yeah.
We don't need the gory reminder of it.
Yeah.
That many times in the episode.
I don't know. There's just, it's, why are you holding so much on this particular shot of him?
Yeah. Anyways, so there's a cut of Indiana Jones that somebody did where they put the movie in black and white and they remove all of the dialogue and sound effects, and it's just score over the black and white movie.
Interesting.
And the point of it, and fast forward through these commercials.
Of which movie, sorry?
Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
The point of it is?
The point of it was to show how expertly Steven Spielberg and John Williams tell stories with their given tools, right?
Yeah. So with the music
and the visuals.
Yeah.
And the movie works just as well without dialogue and sound effects as with.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it's incredible. I've watched it from start to finish.
Cool.
And it's, like, it's incredible how well they tell the story. I think took this episode, as we're doing right now, and you remove the sound there's a lot of moments where you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's TV. I mean, like, James Bamford is not Steven Spielberg. I think he would agree. But I'm just saying.
Also, though, the nature of this episode, the more, like, now that we're watching through it again, I'm realizing how much of it is just two guys talking. Like, it's just Ollie talking to someone else.
Yeah.
Like, that long scene with Diaz where he's talking, and then he talks to Stanley, and then he talks to Stanley again, and then he talks to Michael Jai White. Like, it's just, like, they're just standing here talking in a hallway where people are fighting behind them. Like, that's not, they're not literally just them. Talking heads.
Yeah.
Right? They could be doing something interesting. They're literally not. They're just stopped in a hallway talking to one another. Oh my gosh. This is so boring. Like, it's not
visually.
Like, it's visually very boring and, like, I don't know.
And for me, I feel like it would have worked better if they were just alone in the hallway and there wasn't the visual distraction.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, stark.
Yeah. Yeah, where it's like that's on purpose.
Yeah, to sort of like show the scale of the
prison. And stopping a moment and spending this like moment together. But the problem is they do that later with Stanley, right? Like where it's just Stanley. Okay, so they take way too long getting to the guard. They did the close-up of the guard being in threatening position too soon.
Yeah, he's in mortal peril.
Because he was literally in mortal peril where the knife was to his
throat. But that moment right there where Ollie slides through the railing
yeah.
and the way that he's like kicking over him, this is awesome.
This is a really cool fight.
This is why James Mamford directed this episode.
Yeah, like that double jump where he, yeah. oh yeah, there's a lot.
I'd also like to point out that Michael Jai White, his face is in full view. Yeah. He's doing all of these things,
whereas
we're cutting back and forth from Ollie so that he can do a couple of things. And then we can cut back and we see Michael Jai White still doing stunts. And then when we cut back to Oliver, but previously we were cutting away so that we could cut back and we could see the stuntman do something.
Yeah. Like that jump where he did the jump up and the 2 feet, that definitely wasn't. I mean, it could have been Ollie, but I don't think it was. So.
I don't think it was, no.
Yeah, yeah.
But Stephen Amell did do the thing through the railing,
they're doing a few things, yeah.
Good on him, but obviously he's not as well versed in the stunt stuff as the stunt team. He's just carrying this dude over his shoulder like it's nothing.
I'm loving him
because he's Michael Jai White and he's a beast. He's
I love it.
Beautiful monster of a man, and I love him. He's so good every time he shows up on the show.
I don't understand how these guards can get into the panic room if the people are already locked in the panic room. Yeah. But whatever.
We've talked about this before. Stephen Amell is a better actor when he's playing off of certain people.
Yeah.
And this episode's a great example because when he is playing off of Diaz, which I think like Kirk Acevedo is a great actor. I think that they've just taken his character too far and pushed him, and it's like not interesting anymore. So in the scenes where Ollie is playing off of him, I don't feel like I'm interested at all.
Right.
But when Ollie is playing off of Turner, I am 100% into that story.
Right. Yeah.
And it's because and as well as in this scene when Ollie is playing off of Stanley.
Yeah.
Like I'm buying into it because the back and forth between them is interesting.
Yeah. This is a good scene. So he goes from that I really need to talk to you. Like he syringed him or whatever. And you're like, oh, this Stanley. What do you want, Stanley? Or
yeah.
But then his progression through the scene, this is a great audition scene, right? You take the lines for it for being, and it's easy to audition because you're sitting against somebody that's just sitting there, right? Where you kind of just get to.
I just finished The Haunting of Hill House, which is a phenomenal series on Netflix. Do not watch it.
Apparently, the awesome guy, somebody just told me, so I'm just started Orphan Black, and a guy came on to one of the episodes, and I was like, wow, I don't know this guy. And I know him from the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society as the lead for that, and he's so amazing. Apparently, he's in Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
That's the end of my story.
And there are a couple of scenes in that show. They have some great monologues. There's one character in particular for those who have watched it or are watching it, Mr. Dudley. He has a scene in the third to last episode, I think, where he's just got this great monologue where it's one of those scenes where he talks for I'm sure 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And the camera is just on him.
Wow.
Slowly pushing in, super slowly pushing in as he tells this story. And it's heartbreaking and it's terrifying and it's all of these different things. And it really establishes who that character is, what he means to the story. And it's super important for something that happens in the last episode.
Oh, awesome.
And you can tell that was the audition piece and that the actor that they cast nailed it.
Right.
And they went, you're the guy. Yeah. You can just tell that's the story of how he got that role.
Yeah.
Because you had to audition the character for that scene. Because it doesn't matter what he does in the rest of it.
It needs to be
the rest of the series.
Yeah.
He has to be able to sell that scene in order for the character to work. And actually for the whole story to work.
Yeah.
By the end of the series.
Yeah.
It's a great show, but if you don't like spooky stuff, don't watch it because it's full of spooky scares.
But in the same way, this actor, because nothing he's done up until this point is this, So they had to know he was going here so that they could make sure that they found the right person. Right.
I love that they've used makeup with Stanley to take him from this weak, non-threatening character. And they've kind of slowly turned him into a bit of a monster over the course of this episode.
Great. Yeah.
By like having him beaten last week and like all the stuff on his face.
Yeah.
All the wounds. And then what happens to him just there, and he's got blood all over his face. The and he huge, kind of almost looks, because they've really like sunken his eyes with the makeup and everything. He almost looks like skeletal. Oh, right? Like his face is like bit, so when he's kind of like grimacing and stuff, there's like a he's kind of scary looking. He looks like a monster.
Definitely.
I also love that Turner's been in here prepping stuff, and what that means is he's been taking scissors apart.
Yeah, it's so
that
great.
He just has a bunch of blades.
Yeah, it's fun
because he's Bronze Tiger.
It's great.
And I love this. I love this. Like, what are you gonna do with a bunch of soda? You're gonna stop Diaz with a can of soda, and I love. That, like, that setup has zero payoff.
Isn't that what they put inside the sack?
They put it inside the sack.
Oh, right. But that's...
Could have been anything.
It could have been... Oh, yeah.
It could have been anything.
It just made me realize that that's what it is because I didn't know what it was until right now when we've been talking. I'm like, oh, it's what they put in the sack.
Not the best thing to put in the sack.
It's true. I mean, you're not... Because it could splatter and get everywhere. Yeah,
exactly.
And like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Not a good thing to put in a sack. For beating people with.
Let's see. Let's take a poll. If you were to put stuff in a sack to beat people with that you found lying around a prison.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Because maybe it'd be easy to swing around.
That's, I mean, right? It's got a lot of, like,
because of the fluid,
and,
right?
Yeah.
It would, the momentum
I think
would gain.
I think it would work
easily.
Okay.
It possibly.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to be really clear. If you got hit in the face with a sack of pop cans, it's going to hurt. We're back now.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like if you really want to take out Diaz. But I guess, like, all he wants to do speaking in Dungeons & Dragons terms, he wants to do non-lethal damage, right?
Right.
Because he doesn't kill. So, although, I mean, like, his weapon of choice is a bow and arrow, which is, strictly speaking, piercing damage.
Very
so,
much.
Like, it's going to be lethal damage, but... I guess in this instance. So here we go. We're going to focus on that corpse, the blood out corpse, as we walk into this room. And when we exit the room, we're going to focus on the corpse again. It really bothers me.
Yeah, so this weird device,
it's a magical, not Deus Ex Machina, because it really doesn't do anything.
But
raise the stakes.
Yeah.
So Diaz just keyed into this machine that if anybody hits the breaker to raise the stakes.
I don't understand.
It
somehow is going to cause a bunch of something. Like, right? I don't know.
Yeah. So Samson is really played in this episode as just like a dog. Like, he's really just an attack dog.
Right.
Because, he doesn't even speak in this episode.
Mind you, that's kind of what he did earlier on.
For sure.
That's kind of what I think of him anyways, is that he is sort of just this tool for people to... I mean, that
But like, even, like, in his performance, like, the way he's just kind of looking down at the ground.
Yeah, and,
I don't know, it's interesting.
It's good. I don't know. I like it.
I really wish that they would explain... He's stronger now. What
but
does that
he's
mean?
Not like it's like is he though?
Yeah.
Cause I don't like he why was it a thing? I don't know. There's so many questions about him in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And why is he not killing him right here? Like, I don't know. There's just so many questions that I have about the like practicality of this, I don't know.
Yeah.
This dynamic. So is that we were supposed to, he couldn't have put them in before he got here?
This was your whole plan. And it's like, I just don't feel like they have like batons and stuff.
Yeah. Why?
They could have gotten riot gear.
Yeah.
It just feels like they were like, oh, what's a cool, interesting weapon that we could create?
Yeah.
And they decided that a can of pop in a sack.
Yeah.
Because it's not even like, it's not even like a bunch of cans of pop, I don't think. Like, I think it's like one or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
This is kind of a cool use. Like, yeah. Right, where they're like, we're going to throw him off the lens ledge so that you can come up.
So here we go. We're going to focus on that again.
That bloody dead guy, yeah. But, anyways, Vinny Jones now over the edge and...
Yeah, and Samson's fighting Samson. Turner.
But, like, why? Where did everybody go from this room? Surely he didn't... Did he honestly knock everybody out? Like, I just... There were supposed to be 30 guys in that room and something. I don't know. Anyway, so he is now going to set stuff on fire with an electrical charge. Like, it doesn't make... Whatever.
Yeah.
If I try to make logic of it, it's not going to go too far. I do like...
So it just starts a bunch of electrical fires. They're looking awful lot like gas being piped out of things.
Right? Like, it's like, this is... But this fire scene, like that wide scene, it would be good if that was used in the other ones, but it's not. It's like, it only looks like that in this. Oh, God. And him on fire is just so gross.
Yeah.
Like, it's so...
The smell.
That, sure, that as well, yeah. But it's like, really much like he's... Because he doesn't feel pain, right?
Yeah.
That's his thing, so he wouldn't be able to... That
he just
that
slowly
him?
Dies.
Jumping off of that.
I think so.
I think it was maybe actually him where he did that stunt himself. Anyways.
So we've rescued the guards, thankfully, except for the ones that are dead.
Yes.
And
something about a device that must have triggered an electrical fire. No more explanation, but sure. But it's a thing where it's like, is he trying to burn down the prison? Or it was a distraction?
Yeah.
What was the point of that fire? Like, I just don't get it.
Yeah, fast forwarding through commercials again.
Where I'm kind of like...
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I don't understand, and I can't explain it to you either.
Because I'm like, maybe if the stakes were that he's going to have to suffer because everybody's going to be locked in the prison now, and they're all going to die, and it's going to be Ollie's fault, and that's going to make him suffer. But that doesn't even seem to be what it was about. So I'm kind of like, So it's just a way for him to escape, but he was already escaped.
It's just artificially raising the stakes of the episode.
Fire.
Because now they're in a prison that's on fire, even though it's all concrete.
And actually, the thing that bothers me about this is that this seems very much like effects fire, like visual effects fire, whereas the other one seemed like live action pyro. And it just works way better as live action pyro than it does as this weird VFX fire that's in here.
I really want to know what that fire is coming from because
that was an oddly good shot, but also a really weird shot where he ducks down and he's just behind him. Like, it was a weird... I don't know, it didn't work.
Didn't really work. Yeah. Like,
where's the fire now? Oh, right? Let's get those VFX shots in there. But it's not burning.
It's thankfully only burning in certain places.
Right?
So,
yeah.
And on, like, specific, like, chunks there, which is really good because Oliver's about to go over the railing.
But this is the problem is that, like, I'm not paying attention to this fight like I'm supposed to. I'm paying attention to the terrible CGI.
Yeah. I don't know if it is CGI.
Is it maybe real?
I think it's practical. Maybe
it's a practical effect. It just seems like it would have been going for a really long time.
That would have been really hard to pull off, I feel like. So those, like, visual effects, like the tracking and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because the camera's moving so much.
It's true, but it just looks so fake. Maybe that's just my problem, is that, like, the stuff on the roof looks so fake.
It looks fake because it looks like it's just like a hose with, like, that's like pumping out gas along a line, right?
I guess so. I guess that's like, but I mean, that is what it is doing. So
it's 100% what it's doing.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it's just like the suspension of disbelief is really difficult to maintain because you're going like, what is the fuel source?
Yeah.
Cement doesn't catch fire. Like, that's why the prison is made out of cement. It's why when you're buying a condo, you ask, is the building wood frame or is it cement? And you want to be in a cement frame building because it's harder for fire to spread.
Ollie does seem, like, how is he still standing? There is, like, a thing I get. Like, he just has been so beaten up by this point. And it's the most unbelievable part about this whole episode. So they end up back in his cell.
Yeah, the whole thing ends with him back in his cell.
I don't know. Like,
And right there, so it's like Diaz clearly has some sort of metahuman abilities.
Because he just like flipped him backwards or whatever, yeah.
But like,
I don't know.
But like, what are those abilities? What are the upper limits of his abilities? Yeah. How does any of it make any sense? And it's the thing that's really frustrating about it is that they could have just said that it was Mirakuru.
Right? Yeah.
And it would explain everything. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, none of his plans make any sense because he's under the influence of Mirakuru and it's making him crazy.
Yeah.
We know what his powers are like because we've experienced it on multiple occasions at this point.
Yeah.
And it would tie back into a past character.
But I wish that Felicity's turn had been more of his doing, because then that would make sense that it's a suffering thing that he has caused. But he's just taking advantage of it. And it's not, okay, of all the things, though, like, Ollie's so beaten up and so stabbed, and really, literally, this, like, stab and headbutt is what's getting Diaz right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, like, whatever. Whatever.
Also, just the fact that he pulls it off.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of, like, comes out of nowhere, and it's like...
Yeah.
I feel like Diaz has been able to stop you every time you've come at him.
Yeah.
But here, you're able to just, like... grab the scissor that he's holding
and then like
and reverse it on him and stab him with it.
Are they allowed to have mirrors in prison cells? Like, that looks like a real mirror. Like, I feel like it'd be some sort of fake mirror that couldn't be shattered and used to stab somebody. So whatever,
that's a good point.
Just a little observation of that particular mirror, because I feel like they have mirror like material but not like mirrors. But
I don't know that prisons really have, like, the big sliding iron bars these days. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are prisons that are like that because they're, like, old prisons or whatever. But I feel like modern prisons are probably different.
Here's Stanley finding Vinny, who just ran away, right? Like, he's like, I'm trying to... Arrow's little sidekick. I don't know, this is good. So, Dover. So, his name is Stanley Dover. Is that somebody that we're supposed to know? Like,
don't know. I don't think so. But like, so this is what I was talking about. Like, he looks kind of like...
He looks Joker-esque. Yeah. I just keep thinking of, like... I'm like, I wonder if he's supposed to be a villain of some kind.
Yeah.
Because that would be really interesting to like, see. Oh, yeah. Stanley Dover. Star City Slayer.
Cool.
That's awesome. That's why you don't see... He's not credited as Stanley Dover. Yeah. They say Dover, because I kept looking at IMDb to try to find his last name, and they don't have it anywhere.
I think this episode
is the first time that you hear his last name, and so it's when he is the Star City Slayer.
So
look at that.
Brick is dead, right? I take it that was his death scene.
Oh my god, yeah, how did we not know this? He's like a, he was a, oh, okay, never mind, this is the Arrowverse wiki where they're explaining him. I was like, oh yeah, no, this is totally him. But yeah, it's never mind.
Ollie leaves the Count of Monte Cristo in Turner's cell. I love that the prison was randomly on fire in a lot of spots. But the book is fine.
Yeah. Of course, right? Because otherwise it wouldn't have the same poetic.
Yeah. The other thing is that they would definitely be evacuating this prison because there was just a major electrical fire. Mm-hmm. It would not be operational. They'd have to be figuring out a way to round up these prisoners and take them somewhere else. Right. They wouldn't be staying in Slabside.
Yeah.
So there's our Shawshank moment, if only it were raining. The one day it wasn't raining in Vancouver.
There's a few different versions of Stanley Dover. I really want it to be this fun one where he has a monster that's actually, it's like a humor part of it. And anyways, I'm pretty sure it's the
probably let's the pay, darker. Let's pay two. Really close attention here to where Diggle is standing in that last shot, because we're going to get a moment here. This is gross and unsanitary.
Where the, like, he's so dirty. Because why are you?
That is not all his blood.
Yeah. No, it's...
There's no way that's all his blood.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like, I don't know why.
And then we're going to pull out, and there's like no Batman, Diggle has disappeared.
Oh, wow. They didn't think that through.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
He's just disappeared. So we did it. The Slab Side Redemption. Ollie is out of prison. And next week, we have to figure out how Oliver is going to get back to real life. Or is he gonna become the Green Arrow again? So the interesting thing here is
it's the same Stanley Dover, Beast with No Name. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just keep looking at Stanley Dover.
He's got the Green Arrow gear back on, but he's not wearing the mask.
Ollie?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think that Argus is
putting him to work. Where he's like actually there.
I really need to get caught up on Legends because these previews. I said to Crystal as I finished this episode on Monday night, I was like, I don't know if I actually need to watch Legends or if I should just like go through this entire season just watching the previous Leons. But Biff from Back to the Future is the one, like some sort of Time Bureau director guy this season.
That's cool.
Like he's like their boss or something.
But so, like not like the actor, but like actually Biff.
I don't know. I don't think it's actually the actor that played Biff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I need to get caught up on Legends.
Yeah, it's good.
We did it though. You know what I hate? We get to the end of the episode and I'm like, we did it, and then we have to wrap up the episode.
I know.
I wish that I could just be like, the episode's over now.
That's done.
Go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't. That's not the way we do things.
No.
But we are done talking, right? We're done?
We are, yeah. I mean, if people are interested in Stanley Dover is a really interesting character. He, like, was an occultist because he was trying to summon the beast with no name, so he killed a bunch of people to try to summon this beast, and there's, like, both of these characters.
Yeah.
It is what I was talking about, that, like, fun. It's, like, a six-year-old boy that's trying to, like, him and his beast with no name. It's, like, a funny comic thing, and then this version of it is, like, Stanley Dover's insatiable quest for power turned a bold new direction when he met the amnesiac Oliver Queen. Queen had only recently returned from the dead, but without the benefit of a human soul. Interesting. Anyways, it's just really cool.
So that's was Stanley Dover in Quiver?
Because
that's the storyline when Oliver comes back. I'm trying to remember. I should go through my comics.
He was going to transfer his spirit into Queen's hollow body, and then he was going to masquerade as Green Arrow. That's just an interesting...
Okay, that must have been like a follow-up, because I don't remember any of that. But,
There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things going on here in terms of, like, what he is. But he was just... He's basically just a really creepy dude.
Cool. Well, new villain. Yeah, sure. We're going to see a lot more of him this season.
So exciting.
But that does it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. And you can stay up to date with all the latest Arrow news by heading to quiverpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/quiverpodcast, on Twitter at quiverpodcast, and on Instagram at quiverpodcast.
You can also follow us individually on social media. I'm at @akonkin. @AKONKIN on Twitter, and you can add an 86 to that for Instagram.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at ArcWulf, ArkWulf. And we're also part of the DC TV Podcast Network. Look forward to our crossover live stream
December 14th, I think.
December 14th, yeah.
So it'll be the Wednesday after the
crossover. Yeah, the Wednesday after the crossover.
14th or 12th, 12th or 14th, one of the two.
The 12th.
I think the 12th.
December 12th. Yeah. So we'll be live streaming with the hosts of the Flash podcast, the Supergirl podcast, and the Batwoman podcast. So look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned to our social media and stuff for links and details and stuff. But I think we're going to start around 6:30 Pacific time.
Yeah.
I think that's
sounds
the plan.
About right.
So that's coming soon. Of course, we'll be back next week to cover Arrow in between, but that'll count as our Quiver episode for that week. We're also part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other podcasts in the network. And if you like what you hear, you can support us in two ways. First, by going to store.thunderquack.com and picking up some merch, which people have been doing lately. Because
holidays are up. Yeah,
the Redbubbles had some good sales and stuff.
Yeah.
What with Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all that. Mm-hmm. The other way to support us is by heading to patreon.com/thunderquack and kicking in with a monthly pledge. For as little as a dollar, you can get access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, which Amanda and I just recorded tonight before we recorded this. And it's pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
You also get access to the Facebook group and other little tidbits over there on Patreon. So thank you to everybody who supports us over on Patreon. There has been an uptick. Like, there's been a few new people supporting us. So that's cool.
It's nice to see you.
So thank you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, everybody who is doing that. And if you're curious, go check it out. There should be a few like free episodes and that sort of thing over there, for you to check out if you're not a supporter, if you just want to kind of get an idea of what we do on our Patreon, campaign. But that's it for this episode. And we'll be back next week for the episode Unmasked.
Stay sharp, Robin.
Descriptions for these episodes are awful. They are so awful. So I read a lot of episode descriptions because of all of the podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like DuckTales, great episode descriptions. There's usually a joke or something in it. Like there's usually some hint of the humor in the episode. And it tells you what's going to happen in the episode. Like, Storkules is gonna come live with Donald on his houseboat and hijinks will ensue.
Right.
Great. I know what to expect from that episode. Something for us to talk about on a podcast. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well done. With Star Wars Rebels, Kaz and whatever, I can't remember the other characters' names. They're so forgettable sometimes, but they're gonna uncover a truth about the tower, and it's going to lead them to an unexpected blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. Mystery intrigue. I'm curious what's going to happen. Arrow. This is the description for the episode we're about to talk about. Okay? Lots to describe this episode.
Yeah, lots of ways.
None of it is in this.
Okay.
This sounds like a different episode, actually. Oliver makes a choice that will affect his entire life as well as the lives of everyone he cares about.
What? No, he doesn't.
When does that happen in this episode?
I don't know. It doesn't. What? No, that's not true at all.
No, the description for this episode is
Diaz breaks into
Slabside and Oliver has to defend
Or even Oliver has to defend his fellow inmates when a person from his past threatens to destroy his life.
That's more like mysterious and vague.
Right? Yeah. Right? Oh my god. No, that's not. Yeah. Okay.
Anyways. Okay. It was written by two ladies, though.
Probably, maybe not the episode description so much as